Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today in the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about startups. There's a lot of conversation now around startups, companies, why some succeed, why those others fail. And there's been a lot of reasons, a lot of things thrown around as to what is the specific area that most of these companies fail. And that's the reality of where we're at today, is that in the market that we're in, with equity valuations going through the roof on startups that haven't even approached to making money, they have a great idea and one that shows a lot of promise. And what you're going to see with startups are these two things called opportunity versus leadership. And many of the valuations that you see today are driven off of opportunities, not necessarily relative to the leadership of the company. It's that, hey, I see a great opportunity. This is something that if we throw enough money at and we try to nurture this opportunity, it'll succeed. And more often than not, that is not the case. And what you're going to see is that most will fail. Most will never deliver a positive return. But what you find through looking at companies that I've been with, companies that we work with LiquidMind, as well as the studies you see out there, is that this opportunity versus leadership equation is balanced out where most people feel that the leadership is one that can take care of an opportunity. And so what we're looking at is most, in most of these cases that you'll see, is that most often these leaders are not prepared to realize success. Although a great opportunity, they're just not prepared to be able to convert that opportunity into a success. And now there's numerous reasons why that happens. It isn't always necessarily pinned on the leader, him or herself. It's really a case of many times getting out of the leader's way. If this opportunity is defined and you've done your due diligence and you see a leadership team that has the core capacity to be able to execute on a strategy that's going to realize the success of that opportunity, get out of their way. And another thing you'll look at is that the funding of the company, the capital requirements, are usually an issue as well. And so when we look at these kind of sobering statistics, most of you have seen them out there, is that on average, 80% of all companies fail in the first 5 years. And an even more sobering statistic is it's improved a little bit, but more often than not, 80% of what's left fails in the next 5 years. So effectively, you're getting this attrition of companies, 80% in the first 5 years and the balance 80% in the next 5 years. It's a huge attrition of companies that don't succeed. So what these venture capital companies are betting on more often than not is that that 5% that does succeed outweighs the other 95% that does not. It's a crazy assumption. But more often than not, there's a reason they're in business still. And the reason why they're very successful is because that formula does work. So when you look at this opportunity versus leadership, you know, why do companies and startups in particular fail? And so what I looked at was these steps to avoiding failure. You know, one thing is that failure is not fatal. Failure is a stepping stone to success, I say. And when you look at how do I avoid a failure and be able to learn from past failures in companies. And that's really what I want to talk about today. So when we talk about with the Visionary Chronicles, those visionary companies, those that have exceeded for generations, who are these leaders and what have they done to successfully move from a startup to a generational success? And I not only looked at companies, I looked at obviously a lot of companies, but I looked at also ones that have had studies over the years and really looked at pulling together 10 things that are steps to successfully bringing your company from a startup to a generational success, or at least we hope that they become a generational success. So with the Visionary Chronicles, as we always do every week, I want to make sure that I narrow these points down. So whether it's 5 of these or 10 of these or 2 of these, really the intent here is to give you kind of a vision of what are those steps that allow you, hopefully, to succeed as a startup. And so one thing we'll look at, which is kind of more of a overriding view of what happens with these startups, is there's this kind of this aim, ready, fire. And a lot of times with these startups, you'll say ready, fire, aim. And what they mean by that is starting up something before you're ready. And what these 10 points kind of come across is a step process to ensure that you have a process as you move through the startup stage. So you do have this ready, aim, fire strategy versus the ready, fire, aim and having to stop and start. And I mention this because one of the big things that we've looked at with companies and one of the reasons that they fail more often than not is they start and then they stop. They start and they stop. And what happens with that is it creates a lot of frustration inside of the company. It's an inefficient way to get the company started. And it also is something that a lot of people lose faith in the leadership as a result of doing that. So make sure that whatever you're doing on these 10 steps, that you're following a process. And so let's take a look at these. And the first one clearly is defining the problem with a clear opportunity. And what I mean by that is that many people will look at opportunities in the marketplace. And the problem with this is it becomes a little bit of what I call this bloody ocean. People will go in there and say, well, there's a lot of opportunity within this market, but fail to recognize there's a lot of sharks in the water eating at the same food. So what you want to make sure of is that you're defining the problem with a clear opportunity. And so you want to move from this kind of bloody water to this clear blue ocean water and be able out there swimming by yourself. And so when you look at defining a problem, make sure that you have a clear opportunity. As I always do in my explanations, I like to have a real simple view of what that looks like. So, and when we look at this, we say, is it a problem looking for a solution or a solution looking for a problem? So when you have an opportunity defined, make sure that it is a problem. And what I mean by that again is it's got a problem with an opportunity. And that opportunity is truly something that you can solve in the marketplace that nobody else is doing. And or if somebody else is doing it, finding a way to do it better. So that's number one, is defining the problem with a clear opportunity. Is a problem looking for a solution or a solution looking for a problem? So that is first and foremost what everyone looks at. And what you see in the marketplaces today is really stopping at point one many times. They're going, hey, it's a great opportunity. But yeah, but you have defined it as a problem in the marketplace that nobody else is solving. So move beyond one. And the second one is execute the solution. Once you find an opportunity that is truly a problem, find a solution to this problem. And this moves into what they call this ideation phase. It's the ideation to find the best, most effective solution, testing, failing often, and refining the solution. So you want to make sure that you're in the testing phase of an ideation, moving into concept phase to testing phase to realizing and commercializing it in the market, and making sure that once you do that, that it's still a problem and an opportunity in the marketplace that you can solve. So that's number two, is executing the solution once you defined a problem that is truly an opportunity. The third is validation. And what I mean by this is that there are many times products are put in the marketplace where they don't do any type of validation with the target audience that you're trying to find a solution for. And I will say that there is a challenge with doing this many times, because all the products you see in the marketplace, for the most part, on generational products are products we never knew that we needed. So the challenge you have is, yes, there will be a validation with the internal team and with the external community that's part of your company or your brand, whether it's a product or a service, whatever it happens to be, validate the problem and the solution that you're providing, and that it does, in fact, provide a value to your target audience. So that's number three. And it's an acceptance within the defined opportunity. And the pieces of the puzzle that allow you to confirm validation are the adoption rate and the attrition rates and the value provided as a result of that product. And those are all things that you can test in the marketplace prior to putting it into the marketplace on a mass level. So validation, acceptance within your defined opportunity, and the measurable or tangible benefits being is the value provided and what is the adoption rate and also the attrition rate. So you know it may not be a one-hit wonder. It's something that can be carried on for a long period of time. So that's number three is validation. And number four is really something that we've looked at over the years with the companies we've worked with or for is balanced decision making. And what you want to make sure of here is that, yes, risk is always part of being a generational innovation driven brand. But also on the other side of this is leverage experience, balance with risk. And so you always want to make sure you're making smart decisions. So balanced decision making is very important. Yes, risk is part of it, but make sure before you dive in the water that you've got some type of leveraged or leadership experience that allows you to balance that risk so you don't go too deep without finding a way to come back to the shore. So that's number four is, yes, risk is important. Risk is required for you to be a innovative brand, one that's disruptive in your category or marketplace, but make sure that you're balancing that risk with logic. That's number four. Number five is make it happen. I say three words, man, make it happen. Have a clearly defined executable plan with contingencies in case one path is not crossable. So you want to make sure that you always have a contingency plan, but you're always moving forward. This two-step forward, one-step back versus one-step forward, two-step back principle of make it happen. Make it move forward in the process so everybody can see the executable strategy in the marketplace for the product than the opportunity that you see. So it's also understanding the risk. We talked about in principle four is balancing the risk, but number five is understanding that risk, making it happen, but understanding the risk and learning how to adapt and limit the exposure to that risk. So it's really understanding the risk. I always talk about entrepreneurs being risk takers. And being an entrepreneur myself, having started my own company, running it for 10 years, selling it to a VC firm, is that entrepreneurs, true entrepreneurs, are ones that understand the risk, but learn how to adapt and limit that risk and exposure. So there's a big difference between no risk and risk and being able to manage and understand that risk as entrepreneurs versus non-entrepreneurs. And number six is be passionate, be a visionary. You are the leader of this company, so make sure that you are carrying the torch and that vision on a day-to-day basis to everybody inside of that company, both visually and verbally. So be passionate, be a visionary about what you're looking to execute in the marketplace and how it's going to make people's lives better, how it's going to bring value, and also what role they play in commercializing that new service or that new product. And so that is a very important component to making sure you're the one driving the passion inside the company. And that gets infected inside of the entire brand itself. Everybody, the team members, whoever it is, even the community outside of the brand are passionate about what you're looking to achieve going forward. Number seven is bootstrap your way to profitability. Now, I say this as a true entrepreneur. If you're handed $20 million and all of a sudden you're asked to turn it into $25 million, that is not an entrepreneur. That is just someone who was given a business and asked to grow it to the next level. So when you're looking at being a startup, one of the biggest reasons for failure, in addition to the points we've just made, are you don't understand how to manage your financial position and your exposure from a cash flow perspective. You'll always spend more than you think and always have less than you have. So that's a principle that, for whatever reason, we see it in almost every startup that we work with, is having accurate financials and tracking against your budget, making sure that you bootstrap your way to profitability. It's always best to have a cash reserve than to be borrowing against debt. So remember, bootstrap your way to profitability is number 7. Ensure that everyone understands their role and the impact they have on the business daily and hourly. You will not succeed in your business if you do not have the financial resources to keep it moving forward. And believe me, once this gets inside of the company, it spreads like wildfire. So always manage your financial resources, keep on top of your budgets, and make sure that when you do invest, you understand the risk and you understand the return. Number 8 is kind of a combination off of number 7, is that if you're going to bootstrap, you're asking people to sacrifice, okay? Don't ever forget that as a business owner. Those around you are part of the pain on a startup. So as a result of that, share in success. And I don't really mean just equity. I'm also saying treat people the way they want to be treated, with respect. And always thank you and you're welcome. Very often this gets lost in translation with business owners. They're working 24/7, 25/8. I get it. But those around you are the ones that are going to allow you to succeed as a startup business. So treat them fairly. Share in the success, pay and equity, and also personal responsibility, rewards, and thank yous. Number 9 is expand and thrive, okay? Once you get to this point and you follow this process, 1 through 8, number 9 is expand and thrive. What I mean by this is stick to your success formula, adapt and grow your business. Stick to your success, adapt and grow your business. Expanding and thriving is where you're going to have the most fun but the most challenges at the same time. And the challenges that you face in number 9, once you've crossed that bridge of startup to ongoing concern and a true business that has revenue and profitability, is then the competitors notice who you are. And if you've stuck to your principles, have an anchoring foundation with a team that's dedicated to your success, you will thrive. So make sure that when you're in the expanding and thriving stage, you stick to that formula and you adapt wherever you need to and continue to grow within that success formula. Number 10 is succeed. And one word, succeed, I said, don't let off the gas pedal. Don't let up. Be a relentless, what I call, executioner. And executing relentlessly is a key foundation principle to every department inside of a successful startup that then grows to a generational brand. You've identified your opportunity, you're executing your solution, you're validating the opportunity, you're balancing your decision making to limit your at-risk exposure, you're making it happen. You're passionately driving that vision inside of the company, and you're bootstrapping your way to profitability, and you're sharing in that success with your team, and you're expanding and thriving. Number 10 is success. Succeed. Don't let off the gas. You want to make sure that whatever you do, you're executing relentlessly. And I always say, being great starts at the top. It's the foundation of any company. The founding principles, the ability to adapt, the knowledge to know what is right and what is wrong, what is working, and the culture driven by a passionate vision shared by all inside of that company. And if this process, these steps are followed, This should help you move beyond the failure of startups to the success of your startup. So hopefully you found these beneficial. Please feel free to reach out to me at briansmeltzer.com. I'm happy to answer any question. And I absolutely wish you all the success in the world and have a great day. And thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles. I want to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles. I really appreciate your time. I know that you've got a lot of other things on your plate, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to the Visionary Chronicles, so thank you. You know, our intent in creating the Visionary Chronicles was really to address not only critical business issues, but also personal plus professional issues that business owners, entrepreneurs face on a day-to-day basis. So if you could and you like what you hear, certainly the support helps and the reviews are tremendous. So we really appreciate all those of you who have given us reviews. And as we move forward and you give us a review, we're going to be giving away some product as a thank you for those reviews, and also take a look at the Visionary interviews, Visionary Chronicles interviews that we have coming up as well. So if you have somebody who you feel would be a good subject for the Visionary Chronicles, we'd appreciate you having them reach out to us as well. They can go to my site, Brian Smeltzer, BRYANSMELTZER.com. Go to the podcast section and you'll see the Visionary interview. So again, thank you for your time. I appreciate it as always and look forward to our next Visionary Chronicles podcast.